This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening, Miles Blumsome here, filling in for Matt Beadle on the Brentford Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Going to be joined this evening by Robin Hood McMichael and David XG Anderson. The Brentford fans, the most important people in this fan show. As Charlie was saying before, that there's no football on at the moment because of coronavirus, but we still want to talk about it. We want to talk about the effect coronavirus is having on clubs, on the fans themselves as well. If you want to get in touch with the show, you know the number, 0208 70 20 558. You can call us, you can send us a message on WhatsApp, or you can tweet us as well, at Love Sport Radio. Now, this is the day that Boris Johnson has said avoid offices, avoid pubs, avoid travel to stop the virus. What we shouldn't be avoiding is the radio, because we can tell you everything that you need to do. As I said earlier, joined today by Robin Hood McMichael, Dave XG Anderson. Gentlemen, how are you feeling so far?
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, it's very, very strange. It's weird to be on a Monday and sitting at home over the radio rather than being in the studio with you lovely gentlemen. But yes, it's a real sort of feeling of unknown and uncertainty. I don't think I've ever experienced anything like this before, certainly not in football or in my lifetime. And I was speaking to my dad earlier on, and he's in a similar position. So yeah, I'm not really sure how I'm feeling at the moment. I don't know how you feel, XG, but I'm really just I don't know how to feel, essentially.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? That there's not much clarity going forward as to what is going to happen, because it's an unknown and it's not necessarily what we can do. And it's hard to actually place blame anywhere. Dave, bringing you in here, how have you been feeling as well?
Just echoing what Robin was saying. We're kind of all unknown, aren't we? We're sort of stuck in this sort of limbo situation. We had the early April date where football was supposed to be postponed to, but I don't think anyone really believed that was feasible. So we're kind of a bit lost at the moment. We're not really sure when sort of football return and how long the timescale will be. And yeah, none of us our age, or sort of, unless you're sort of around the wartime, I don't think you'd have experienced anything like this at all.
No, I completely agree. Now, the EFL meeting is going to be on Wednesday to determine what is going to happen with the rest of the season. This is what it's at the forefront of a lot of people's minds, sports fans' minds, not everybody's minds. I know there's a lot of people that don't think that football is the most relevant thing right now, but for some people and for the fans, it can be. Wednesday, does this meeting, can they actually make a plan? Can they actually give us a conclusion as to what is going to happen? Because we don't know how long this virus is going to be around for. What can they actually achieve on Wednesday? The only possible conclusive outcome would be to cancel the season, surely.
Ooh, that's interesting. I don't say that, Miles. Cancelling football, how dare they? But I tell you what, I don't envy them in the position. It's not very often I feel sorry for the powers that be at the EFL and in the Premiership and in the FA, but I really don't envy their position. I think cancelling the season at this moment in time would be quite, a bit of a knee-jerk reaction. I think we need to wait and see how the situation... If I were them, I'd be wanting to see how the situation played out a little bit. I think what I'm hoping for is that we get some kind... From the Wednesday meeting, is that we get some kind of direction as to what the plan is. Because a lot of the times, these sort of meetings happen and we don't actually know what the desired outcome is going to be. I think if they come out after the meeting and say that this is what the plan of action is, but don't necessarily have a clear and concise definitive answer yet, that'll be fine. But if they come out and just basically say we don't know, then it's going to, I think, rub a lot of football fans up the wrong way.
Yeah, I agree. I'd be sort of calling the season an end and saying that's it. I think that has to be a last resort. I think you've got to think about loads of options until that moment. But there are plenty of things they can do on Wednesday. They can sort of look around how clubs might survive cash-wise. There's probably a lot of clubs on the brink at the moment. I think Brentford are probably quite lucky because we're run quite well, but there are a lot of other clubs that aren't as fortunate as us. So they might they might agree some things around the flow of money and how sort of clubs might get a bit of support there with wages and sort of staff. There could be a few things they could do. They could start to sort of look at the gaps in the future and where and a real time scale of what they actually genuinely think is going to happen in terms of when football could be back, because I think that's a really big unknown. And really, it's just an evolving situation. In sort of 24 hours' time, it could look very different to what it does now. So there'll be something that goes on there, and hopefully there's some good that sort of comes out of the next series meeting.
Do you think that they can actually clarify on when football will come back? Do you think there's anything they can do that... Because that's a lot of people are assuming that they're going to make this finite decision as to what the state of football is it going to be back in. Or April, is it going to be back in June, July? Is it going to be back next season? Can they actually make that decision? Because we don't know what is going to happen virus-wise in the coming months.
Well, unless you're a part-time FA chief executive and a part-time World Health Organization officer, I don't think you really can tell exactly how big an effect and how big a ramification this is going to have and how long it's going to go on for. I think that the clear thing is to have a kind of, like I said earlier, it's hopefully they have a sort of a clear direction that they will be going in if certain things happen, and depending on how long the virus goes on for. I think what the worst thing that they could do is come out and say, we don't really know, we're just going to see how it plays out. But just if they are able to communicate the sort of what the plans are in place if X, Y or Z happens, then I think, I mean, that'll be satisfactory for me anyway.
Do you think what do you think they need to do? How would you like to see the season resolved now from a Brentford perspective? Brentford sat in fourth in the league, 10 points off West Brom. It seems unlikely now that Brentford would go up automatically, but definitely in the driving seat in terms of the playoffs. What do you think the best way would be going forward to finish the season? Is it delaying it? Do we have to finish the season?
Yeah, for me personally, I think the season has to be finished. I mean, you can't go into a new season without completing the others. Each season leads on from the previous season. There are things that have to happen to agree the next one commencing. So I think you have to do everything you can to finish this one. I think that's a given. I think everyone probably will agree on that eventually. What needs to be discussed is sort of the timing and when it happens and what needs to be shifted around to fit it in. So there's probably going to be a bit of a squeeze schedule and it might be a little bit tighter, but other things are going to have to make way for this season to be completed. But I think logically, and if everyone's serious about it, this season does have to be finished. And for Brentford as well, I mean, the chance of promotion is there. Automatics does look like it's skipped away. That's probably a bit too big a gap to pull back. But there's four clubs in the playoffs looking at the opportunity to go up. And just because it's sort of, it doesn't look like that's on the table now, it doesn't mean it won't be in a month or so. So I think you can't be looking at sort of cancelling the season and voiding this period. That's an absolute last resort. And I don't think anyone really wants that to happen deep down.
No, I completely agree. I think if you look around world football in all the other countries and leagues that are being put on hold because of coronavirus, I think if you were to put it to the world of football, they, as great as the Euros are, in terms of being a wonderful spectacle that happens every 4 years, and as good as the cup competitions in domestic leagues are, in domestic competitions are, I think the key thing is finishing every season's league games, because that sets ramifications for the following season. So if it were up to me, and I'm quite glad it's not up to me, because there's no situation that I think is going to please everyone. So what I would say is finish all the league seasons by whatever sort of, in whatever time frame that is, and have a plan in place to either start the season a little bit later or start the season or maybe close the transfer window or have the transfer window move slightly. There's so many ramifications, but yeah, for me, the league season across all divisions, across all countries needs to be completed.
Robin, what you have just done is answered the question I was just about to ask about whether we scrap all the other cup competitions to get the leagues done.
It's almost as if I read your mind, Mark.
Thank you. It's nice that someone knows what I'm thinking. I wish my girlfriend would be the same sometimes.
Careful, this is on radio.
Yeah, I know. She, it's all right. She's at work. She can't listen this time. Well, I won't tell her to listen back to this week. No, when it comes to getting football back, how will this work? Say it's August and it comes back. We've got 8 games, we've got 9 games left to play in the league. plus playoff fixtures. Would you like it to be seen that there's like a 5-week period where there's games every couple of days to get through all of these fixtures? You only do, instead of doing a home and away leg in the playoffs, you just have one game in a neutral venue and then a final. And will there need to be a period almost like a mini pre-season for players to come out of the self-isolation that most players are in to get their fitness back?
I think you've raised a good point there. I think formats, we sort of think of formats as inflexible because they're the formats, but a championship sort of playoff semi-final doesn't need to be two legs. It can be just a single leg in a neutral venue. So that squeezes a week-long period. You can sort of get more into that period. I think they'll take into account the safety of players. They won't sort of flog them too hard. There'll be thought around it, and they'll sort of consult and they'll say. But two games in a week. I think Brentford played 7 or 8 games in February, just off the top of my head. I haven't looked back at the schedule, and it's doable. You can squeeze. Let's just say it's bloody, but you can squeeze a lot out of these players, and I think they will do. I think it will just be a really tight period, and we'll get through. And really, it doesn't matter when it finishes, and because the next season hasn't started, you can extend that to really wherever you want. In some respects, you obviously not in 2021, but you can extend that, and this season can be prolonged. So, I think they'll come to some resolution, and they'll be okay in the end.
Absolutely, I think the season can be prolonged. If you think about it, the summer transfer window, or the summer off-season and pre-season lasts, it's sort of mid to late May to the start of August. So it's almost as if you use that time period to carry over any of the games that have been postponed, and you play it there, and then you maybe take August off. And I get what Dave was saying. Like, I think it was Wayne Rooney was once asked, you must be tired playing sort of Saturday, Tuesday every single week. And he said, I'll be honest, I'd play every day if I could. And you know, these are professional footballers, and I think if you were to say to them, you're going to be playing more football more often, I don't think they'd shirk that as an offer. And obviously, we'd have to be quite careful in terms of managing the players' health, of making sure that they're not overloaded with too much. But I think it makes so much more sense to, I'm trying to put myself in the players' minds and think, if I was a player, how would I want to do it? And as a player, I would reflect the fans' thoughts, and the majority of the fans' thoughts, of wanting to complete the season in the league season in its format, and then I'd just maybe take a shorter half-season break, move the Euros to 2021 and complete the league season, and then start the new season maybe in September. I think it's the easiest way to appease everyone involved in the world of football. I'm trying not to think just in the Championship, because as Brentford fans, we can sometimes be blessed with rose-tinted glasses, but that's the way I do it too, because I think it's the solution that best fits everyone. And there's no solution that's going to be completely 100% brilliant for everyone, but I think that's the one that works the best.
Of course, if football can come back at that time. Just to go back to what you were saying before, Dave, there were 7 league games for Brentford through February, so it wouldn't be too out of the question. You think about a World Cup programme, there's games every few days for teams as well. We hopefully replacing the Euros with the football, which we will find out tomorrow about with the UEFA meeting. You mentioned earlier as well, Dave, actually, the financial ramifications, potentially Brentford being in a good spot financially, but other teams not. How much longer can it go on for before even teams who seemingly are in good financial situations like Brentford start to get hit by this?
I don't know exactly so I am an accountant myself, so I should probably know more about it. But I wouldn't be too confident. I think there are a lot of clubs that need match day revenue, and they need it quickly. They're struggling without coronavirus to pay the bills anyway. I think now that there's no football at all, and they're not getting match day revenue on top of that, there's going to be double struggling. So it's not great, but I think this is just where football needs to come together. And actually, there are lots of pools of money in this game, and they are probably just sat there doing nothing. It's probably time that some people sort of helped out the other arms of the league and gave a little bit back to what makes the pyramid so great. But in terms of Brentford, I'm not entirely sure about the money wise. I think we're in a lucky situation where we do have a very rich owner who's also a fan. So I think that has to come into it. If you if you have someone who is a benefactor, and they will, they're quite a large, they've got a large sum of money behind them, that the club's going to be okay, because he's used to sort of bankrolling a club. Not many clubs in this, in these divisions make money. They're losing money, so they need input from somewhere. So some clubs that don't have that backing could find themselves in a little bit of difficulty. But I think we'll be okay through this. It sounds a bit blasé with such a severe thing going on, but financially, we should be okay.
Right. Yeah. Up next, let's be a little bit lighter. We've spoken a lot about coronavirus implications here. Let's talk about some of the greatest goals we've seen at Griffin Park. Of course, this year is the last season at Griffin Park. You're listening to the Brentford Fan Show on Love Sport. We've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance. Miles Blumsome here.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
Just coming up to 20 past 8. This is Love Sport London. Miles Blumsome in for Matt Beadle on the Brentford Fan Show. Boris Johnson today telling people to avoid offices, pubs and travel to stop the spread of coronavirus. We've previously seen Spain declare this state of national emergency. France is on lockdown. Germany have closed some of the borders. Flights are being cancelled. Stay safe out there. We are talking about goals, though. I'm joined on the Brentford Fan Show by Robin Hood McMichael and Dave XG Anderson. Griffin Park last season, this season. I'm going to let you guys take it away with this, because you will have seen the goals. You will have some favourites. We've also, on the Besotted Twitter, had some interaction as well there with people giving their votes for what their favourite goal has been at Griffin Park. It's going along this top 10 themes or best of themes. Guys, what are your favourite goals from Griffin Park as we head to the end of the last season?
Well, I'll start. So basically, I've been checking our Twitter, and I've been talking to, as the B Grant would say, the chums in the WhatsApp group, and we have basically been trying to collate. Because the wonderful thing about football goals is that they are so, and as is all of football actually, is it's so utterly subjective. Goals can have significance for the technique that it was used, for the occasion that it was on, for the significance for the individual player. And it's fair to say that mainly in recent years, given our rise up the leagues and the prominence of our football, that some of the goals we've seen are absolutely extraordinary. So we've got a few contributions here. The first one, I'm pleased to forgive myself and Dave, Miles, if we start gushing about some wonderful moments.
No, please do, please do. We need some positivity in our lives at the moment.
We do indeed. So I tell you what, I'm going to start with, and this is entirely selfish from me. I went to the pub with my dad earlier, and I was saying that basically on the radio later I'm going to be talking about some very famous Brentford goals, and he almost immediately came up with one that I'd almost forgotten about, and it does hold actually special significance, because it was in 2001 in a League Cup game. I can't remember what the actual competition was called back then, and it was actually the first goal I ever saw Kevin O'Connor score. Now I just want to say, Dave, do you remember what goal that was?
No, I don't. No, I'm not as good at remembering these things. I'll remember when I see it again. Go.
Yeah, I remember it vividly. It was on the top. We were sitting in the top tier of the Brook Road stand when that was the home end, and it was in the last minute against Norwich, who were an upper table Championship side, and we were in what is now League One. And Kevin O'Connor pops up in the last minute and scored the winning goal against Norwich to send us through to the next round. And it was basically a near post striker's finish. Now, if the younger fans of Brentford today if I was to tell you that Kevin O'Connor was once an incredibly potent striker and scored a left-footed half volley, it was absolutely brilliant. It was one of those goals that you sort of vividly remember, because I could barely see the goal given the angle that the upper tier of the Brook Road was in. So that was quite a significant goal for my dad personally, and for me and him sitting there, because that's one of the first games that we properly remember going to. So that was the thing. And obviously Kevin O'Connor, I think that's quite significant, because that was when he was very, very early on in his career with the club, and he's since gone on to 500 games and become a club legend. And yeah, to see that he's now part of the coaching setup and has never, you know, started at Griffin Park and has never left, I think that holds special significance for me.
Awesome stuff. Yeah, great memory.
Do you have an immediate one that comes to mind? Because I mean, I've got a load of lists here, and before I start reeling them off, I just thought, was there one that came to mind for you?
I don't know, one. I'm more of the ones you sort of remember more recently, and they kind of stick with me a bit more. I don't know. I think hotter in the last minute a couple of times has just been awesome. But I guess for me, it's more the occasion. It's not so much the goal itself. I think we've been quite spoiled over the years of great goals. It's just more of what it means at the time. But, oh, yeah, there's some busy great goals. But, yeah, hotter against Fulham has caused some absolute damage. And his one where he sort of cut in and buried it in the bottom corner. I think the whole occasion, sort of everyone jumping up, that really sticks with me in more recent times. But another one that really kind of I can't get out of my head is Morpi against Villa last season. That was just absolutely incredible. I think it was a really tight game. It was a game where it was Smith returning back to Griffin Park and the occasion sort of we fooled them with Canales' positioning and we were much better than them out throughout the entire match, and they thought they'd get away with a draw, and then Morpi later on.
Well. It was a live game, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was live and Morpi came up with the goods, but it's just how he did it in the fashion. It was just so typical of him, sort of sitting down Tyrone Mings and then curling one to the top corner, and just everyone just went absolutely mental. And I think it's more recently those ones that sort of stick in my mind because of the quality of what's going on and the occasion and what it actually means. But yeah, Morpi Villa was pretty special.
Yeah, I remember being there in the last minute, and everyone went absolutely radio rental for it. It was just one of those. It was just one of those goals that, and because it was quite a tight game, and I just remember Benrahma, you know, Mokotjo picked up the ball, laid it off to Benrahma, fed it into Morpi, and it was you know, for a 5'8", 5'9" striker to hold off Tyrone Mings and put him on the floor and then put the finish away, it was absolutely extraordinary. That's funny enough, the one that Jerry the cabbie of Desotted contributor came up with was the one thing that really stuck with him, and throughout the whole of the WhatsApp chat when we were talking about it, after about things sort of, you know, 10 11 12 messages, Ali Mulally then popped up and said, has no one mentioned Jota in the last minute against Fulham? And yeah, I think Jota against Fulham was I'm actually gonna put my hands up and say I wasn't able to make it to that game due to other commitments, but having seen it on telly and just the descriptions of people that were there saying, yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. And if I'm right in thinking, it took a deflection, but we won't talk about that.
No, we don't think we had deflections.
So go on,
you lead, Rob, that's fine.
So I wanted to move over to Twitter to a more famous goal, which is given to us on Twitter by Brian, that's at Brentford0, who gave us Paul Evans versus Preston in, I think, 1999. Now, this is a goal that goes down in Brentford folklore. I'll just set the scene for you, Miles, because you may not be aware of it. Paul Evans was a sort of a 5'7", 5'8" midfielder. Joined us from, was it Shrewsbury, I think?
I think it was Shrewsbury.
But basically, he could only score goals from 30 yards out and further. It was absolutely incredible. Like this, you know, he was a little midfielder, loved to tackle, got yellow cards, put himself about, and was club captain for a while. And basically, we were 1-0 down against Preston. Preston had just scored, and their fans were celebrating, and it was all they were really, really loving it. And their goalkeeper had run out to celebrate with their players, and as he was trudging back, he sort of turned around and stopped to celebrate with his centre backs. Now, straight from kickoff. Paul Evans stands in the middle, in the centre circle, and says, just give it here. Now, if you go onto YouTube and type in Paul Evans Preston, you'll see it. He literally gets the ball. And from the halfway line, he doesn't lob the keeper. He shoots. It's a shot. It arrows in. It's not like a looping effort. It's a missile. It absolutely shoots and lands in.
Well, it's driven, isn't it? Like, he drives it and just hits it just so cleanly, like straight from the laces and just slight cutting across. But is it the one that he slips a little bit as well?
That's the amazing thing. He fell over while he was doing it. Anyone listening, Brentford or not Brentford, I can't actively encourage you enough to go onto YouTube and type in Paul Evans Preston and find the goal, because it is just—it's almost too quick for the cameraman as well. It's one of those goals that when I was there and saw it live, I was sort of 7-8 years old, and it was the greatest thing I'd ever seen at the time. But then, as you get older, you appreciate just how ridiculous and daring it was. And yeah, he should have been booked for the audacity of it. It was absolutely tremendous. But yeah, so I just big thanks to Brian at Brentford0 on Twitter for letting us know about that. That did pop up in a few WhatsApp chats as well. But yeah, it was really, that's something that definitely sticks out in memory. And I mean, that would be my personal, or probably second in my personal greatest goals at Griffin Park. moving on, I've got another one here, which is a bit more comical, which was against Swindon in, I think, 2014, which pops up a couple of times. And it's a chap called Sammy Saunders. You may have heard of him. He basically goes to take a free kick. It's about sort of right side of the goal, 20, 25 yards out. And again, I'd actively encourage you to check YouTube out for this, because as he's going to take the free kick, he trips over his own feet and slips over. So he gets up, slightly embarrassed, obviously. The Swindon fans are giving him a load of grief. He gets up, the referee blows the whistle, and he hits the most sublime top corner free kick you've ever seen. It's it's about 25 yards out. It arrows over the wall into the far corner, and then he celebrated in front of the Swindon fans by falling over a few times. So, and that was just a beautiful encapsulation of Sam Saunders as a player, as an incredible Deadpool specialist, and also as a character, and being a real sort of, not necessarily the Joker of the pack, but being that character and that really lovable, likeable chap that's made him, again, similar to Kevin O'Connor and Hotter, go down in Brentford folklore.
We'll keep this conversation going after we have a break. If you want to add your greatest goals, Brentford fans, greatest goals at Griffin Park, 0208 70 20 558. Remember, from the 31st of March, Love Sport's national station is going to be the only way of listening to Love Sport on DAB radio across the UK. So if you're listening to us right now, which you are, on Love Sport London, what you need to do after the show, we don't want you ruining your radio now, but after the show, retune your radio. Really easy to do. There should be an auto-tune button, a refresh, or an auto-scan on the digital radio. Or if you can't find one of those, go into the menu, press auto-tune, make sure you don't miss your favourite shows on Love Sport. We'll keep the chat going about greatest goals at Griffin Park. And actually, Griffin Park itself, have we seen the last Brentford game at Griffin Park? How can we resolve that if the season does not go ahead? It's 8:30. This is Love Sport London.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
Miles Blumsome here, in for Matt Beadle on the Brentford Fan Show, joined by Robin Hood McMichael and Dave XG Anderson, talking about the greatest goals at Griffin Park. A little bit of light relief, hopefully, from the coronavirus pandemic that is going around at the moment. Reminder that Boris Johnson has advised people to stay out of pubs, to stay out of offices, to stay off transport, to not travel, to help stop the spread of coronavirus. Now, this isn't a legal requirement yet. It's advice from Boris Johnson. Have we got some more greatest goals? Robin, you were the one leading the chat there. Are there some any more that come to mind?
Absolutely, yeah. So what I'm just going to do, so the first ones were sort of ones that go down in Brentford folklore a little bit. But these ones, I think, that I'm going to reel off now are just ones that I think hold significance in terms of where we are as a club now. So I'll go back to 2004. Now, this is going towards the end of the season, and it was Martin Allen's first sort of half season in charge. And it was a goal against Hull City where we won. I believe it was 1-0. And it was a goal by Alex Rhodes. Now, Dave, do you remember Alex Rhodes?
Yeah, I do. I remember.
Yeah. So, and this was a goal where basically we had, if we had to win to stay up, we were staring what is now League Two relegation in the face. And I think, given the situation of our club at that current time, if we'd have gone down, we're in massive danger of getting second relegation, dropping out of the Football League entirely. And then up popped Alex Rhodes, who was an academy product. And scored a fantastic left-footed finish from the far side of the goal and kept us up. It was against Hull City in 2004, and that's something that holds very, very special significance. Unfortunately, his career didn't really pan out after that, did it, Dave?
No, not very fortunate in that sense. No, it was pretty brief.
It was sort of, you know, a few injuries here and there. And it was disappointing. The other one I'm going to go to for significance is DJ Campbell. You may have heard of him. He obviously went on to prominence in the Premiership with Blackpool and has sort of made a name for himself there. But back when he was just playing for Brentford, little old Brentford, we drew Sunderland at home, and this was in 2006 FA Cup third or fourth round. I can't remember what it was now, but DJ Campbell popped up and scored a brace to send us through, and we won 2-1. And it was his both of his goals, to be honest. You can pick either one of them, but he made a Sunderland Premiership defence look very, very silly. Both of them hanging on the last defender, quick turn of pace, rounded the keeper, and a great left-footed finish. And he's a player that obviously created his own chant. He was only with us for about 6 months, but yeah, he was a very, very significant player.
He went off to Birmingham, didn't he? Straight from Brentford, straight to the Premier League. Is that correct?
Yeah, but no swearing on here, please, Miles. We don't like that. basically, as far as I can remember, the player that the Birmingham scout was there, and the player that he was actually looking at the time was Sam Sodgy, because they were in the Premiership. They had quite a leaky defence, and as far as I remember, not much money to spend. So they were looking down in the lower leagues. And Sam Sodgy, our centre half, was gaining a lot of reputation for being a very, very good ball player, great, dangerous in the air. And really, really good defender. So they were there watching him, and they saw DJ Campbell and thought, oh, God, we've got to have, we need to have some of this. And they bought him for, I think it was 600, 700K. And obviously, I think that kind of curtailed our promotion push at the time, but it was still a great moment, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful goal. I've never seen any footballer look as uncomfortable as Gary Breen did trying to play up against him. It was absolutely brilliant to watch. And then the other one I'm going to hand over to XG for, because I think he'll know what it was. It was Alan Judge against Preston in 2014.
Which one was this one? Is this a penalty?
That was the penalty, yeah. I'm sure you remember that one. It was the goal that essentially got us promoted into the Championship, where we are now.
Yeah, it was just loads of emotion. It was just ripped, and it was. It's kind of sort of set us on the route of the kind of trajectory we're on now. There was just so much feeling in it, wasn't there? He wasn't missing that. Yeah, it was a great occasion.
Yeah, it was in front of the Preston fans as well, and they were there for their annual Genting Day, and. Obviously, he was only a lone player at the time, and then he signed permanently that summer. And it was just a wonderful encapsulation of football itself, because all Preston fans were celebrating their annual tradition, and Alan Judge was celebrating sort of being revitalised as a footballer after moving from Notts County, I think, to Blackburn, and then it not working out at Blackburn, so him then dropping back down to League One with Brentford, and then obviously Brentford being promoted to the Championship. It was such a special day. It was such a wonderful occasion, and yeah, we were absolutely over the moon to have seen that. And yeah, and obviously Alan Judge then went down and went on to do even more amazing things with Brentford. But yeah, that goal against Preston, although it's only a penalty, it might not be the most technically marvellous goal to wonder, but it certainly holds a lot of significance. So then just a couple more that were contributed by our Bizotted chums. Robbie mentions the Hotter goal against QPR in 2017, where he left Jake Bidwell on his backside. Really brilliant crossfield ball, which he took first time, lobbed it over Bidwell, cut back inside onto his wonderful left foot and buried it in the bottom corner. That's one that came up, and I think that's a very, very fitting tribute to him. Ian Westbrook came up with one as well, which was a goal by a chap called Tony Folan against Cambridge back in the late 90s. Now, Tony Folan, if you don't know about him, was sort of a bit of a one-season wonder, unfortunately. He only really had one great season, and then his career never really kicked onto the heights that it potentially had the opportunity to. And he scored so many wonderful goals, particularly in a really good away goal against Peterborough, where he dribbled around three or four players and chipped the keeper. But this one was, again, for sheer audacity. He picked the ball up on the edge of his own penalty area from an opposition corner, sort of sprinted out to the halfway line that quickly lost momentum. And we were all thinking, OK, what's he doing? What he then did was lob the keeper from the halfway line. It was just one of those, again, similar to the Paul Evans one of those daring sort of, wait, he's not actually trying that. Oh, he's done that. And then he put it away. It was a marvellous goal. And then again, that'll be somewhere on YouTube. So I can't, again, the technical audacity for that. Oh, it was absolutely brilliant. Go on.
No, keep going.
That's a player that in one season, I think, influenced me watching football a lot more than most players do in a whole career. I think he the stuff he could do with the ball at his feet was absolutely marvellous. Like I said, he never really went onto prominence like he could have done. But yeah, he was a very, very special talent.
Well, that's a good way to finish greatest goals. Now, we're talking about the greatest goals at Griffin Park. I want to talk about Griffin Park itself. This season, supposed to be the last season at Griffin Park. Next season is when Brentford move into the new stadium, the start of the 2020-2021 season. That's a mouthful, actually. 2020-2021 season is supposed to be played at the new Brentford Stadium. What's going to happen with this with the games being postponed? If they're not going to start again until August, September, whether it's the end of this season or start of next season, do you expect them to still be played at Griffin Park? Do you expect them to be at the new stadium? How do you think this is going to be resolved?
Go on, Dave. Well, no, I was just going to say it's incredibly tricky. I think to open a new stadium, there's things like you sort of have to have test events. It doesn't just sort of open and you go in. You have to prove that it's safe and it works. And the fact that we can't actually play any games and we can't put lots of people together or players together delays it. So it probably is going to lead to Griffin Park not being given over to who it needs to be given over to, and then us not moving to the new stadium until a lot later than planned. We also, the stadium's actually not finished as well, so if we have issues around people working, they may be delayed. They may not be able to actually complete what they need to do in time as well. So it's without doubt it's going to be extended. It's just probably till when, and hopefully we find that out soon. But they probably don't know as yet, and it's still a work in progress there.
I think there's probably some contractual obligations that we have, like, regardless of what stage the season is at. It's always been the last season at Griffin Park and the move into the new stadium. I don't think there's ever been a sort of, we must finish the season at Griffin Park. I think we will have to move into the new stadium at a certain date, and then what the future of Griffin Park after that is obviously down to whoever owns the land after that. I think regardless of what stage the season is at, when we move into the new stadium, that's where we will play the rest of our games, whether or not it's the remaining games of the current season or start of the new season. That's where it will be played. I think that's what should happen. I don't think we should wait and delay it too much just because of nostalgia. And there's a very big reason why I'm saying that today of all days, but we'll get onto that later.
So we can't have the last game at Griffin Park already being played without some fanfare. If the league's cancelled or the next games, proper league games or competitive fixtures will happen at the new stadium, do you think there'll be a send-off organised for Griffin Park? Do you think a Legends game maybe, or some sort of... You've got to have one more game, surely.
No, it's just going to be me and XD Dave playing the crossbar challenge for the audience. That's all it's going to be. I think a Legends game would be a nice fitting tribute. I want the last ever game at Griffin Park to be with the current squad. That's just my opinion. I think the way Griffin Park should bow out is giving homage to the future. Obviously, Griffin Park holds so many memories for all of us fans in terms of the sort of the significance of all the events and all the goals and all the jubilation and all the horror moments we've seen there as well. And I think the best way to end that season is to provide a springboard for the future. And I think psychologically and sentimentally, if we were to end the season with the last game at Griffin Park being the current squad giving it a farewell before moving into the new stadium, I think that would be the best, most fitting tribute. I understand not a lot of people will agree with me on that one, but that's what I think it should be.
Could it be the current squad versus a Legends squad if it does have to be a special game?
What a massacre that would be, blimey. Brian and Mbeumo versus Ija Anderson. That would be wicked. Maybe. I think, what are your thoughts, Dave?
Well, I think a Legends v current, yes, a bit of clash of cultures. I think there's a little bit more aggression back then. I don't know. I think I don't want to think too seriously about it, but in terms of sort of the new stadium and this one carrying on, you can't really sort of think about that one until this season's finished and we can't really get this one signed off. But finishing off stadiums, I don't know. There's so many different things going around, like a sort of big concerts where I don't know, Hardfire could play or something like that. There's loads of things that people want to sort of stay by. But I think it's just more about everyone being in there and actually whatever actually happens, it's just it being full with sort of some familiar faces and everyone looking down on something. I don't think whatever happens inside actually matters. It's more just saying goodbye and it being full and being there together, and that's just fingers crossed what we have to hope can actually happen.
Hopefully,
mainly it's about me and you doing the crossbar. Let's be honest.
Yeah, probably. That'd be good.
Whatever happens, we'll have to try and sort that out for halftime entertainment, won't we?
If you can make that happen, Miles, you'll make me a very happy man. Don't worry.
I'll make some calls. I'll do my best. Okay, so hopefully we can see the rest of the season concluded at Griffin Park. We'll let you know if we hear anything, what we do hear. In some news, actually, you've just seen that Thursday's Premier League darts have been postponed in Newcastle, and huge news is that the Grand National has been cancelled. Completely cancelled the Grand National because of the COVID-19 outbreak, the coronavirus outbreak. Sorry. Remember that Boris Johnson has said to avoid offices, pubs and travel to help stop the spread of coronavirus. Up next, let's look ahead to next season, because it will happen at some point, whether it's this year, next year, 4 years, 5 years. There will be a next Premier League, Championship season, Premier League season. There'll be a next season of football at some point in the future. I hope so anyway. 0208 7020 558 if you have any questions about tickets. It's 8:45. This is Love Sport.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
This is the Brentford Fan Show on Love Sport London. Miles Blumsome in for Matt Beadle, joined by Robin Hood McMichael and Dave XG Anderson. Now, tickets for the games that have been postponed. Just quickly, Brentford on the website, on brentfordfc.com, have said that fans are being reminded to keep hold of any match tickets in their possession, ready for when the Sky Bet Championship season resumes. So, it's postponed at the moment till the 3rd of April. There's going to be a meeting on Wednesday from the EFL. The Premier League one is on Thursday. Hopefully we'll have some more clarity as to what's going to happen, as to whether football can resume in April or if there'll be further postponements. But for now, keep hold of your tickets so that you can get to the games when they are played, if they are played. Keep hold of your tickets is pretty much what we're saying. And in terms of the new season, getting your season ticket, Robin, you have gone to pick up your season ticket, or tried to anyway.
Today, myself, Edward the Headwood and Gordon Lindsay, our trio of chums, we went to pick up our season ticket from the reservation centre. For those of you that haven't done it, you'll know exactly what I'm about to talk about. For those of you that haven't done it, I can't wait for you to experience it. It was an absolutely fantastic. It was genuinely one of those. And I've always been a very sort of, you know, looking really, really sad to leave Griffin Park, because it is a place that holds so many memories, because it is a place that has been part of my upbringing, part of my childhood, and I'm sure a part of every single Brentford fan's childhood. But I went to pick up my season tickets today. The guys there couldn't have been more welcoming. They couldn't have been any more excited and interested to know exactly who we were as fans, what we were looking to do and what we were looking to get out of the new stadium, where we wanted to sit, where we'd been before, where we'd be, which pubs we'd be going to beforehand and afterwards. And yeah, it was just really, really wicked experience. So we've got our seats in the West Stand, and we're really looking forward to it. We did ask a couple of questions there, and what's a couple of interesting things to come out from that reservation centre is that in the South Stand there's actually going to be a 750 capacity bar that's going to be exclusive for the Premier seat holders, but then after games that's going to be open for Brentford fans to go and enjoy a beer in after the game. So that's just a real enhancement from Griffin Park, rather than sort of, right, football's over, off you go. This is going to be, they're looking at introducing that as a bar for Brentford fans to have a quick drink in for a couple of hours after the game's finished. So that's going to be really, really good. And someone raised the question, they're talking and looking at the viability of having that available for watching away games when Brentford are playing away, which I think is really, really interesting. It's really, really brings home the fact that whilst we are leaving Griffin Park, which has been such a wonderful home to all of us over the past few years, over the past few decades even, we are moving into an absolutely beautiful, amazing new stadium. The virtual reality where we saw how the stadium would look from every seat was amazing. The way in which you can pay for your seats, whether it's just as a full whack, whether it's 25% now and 75% later, or whether or not it's four instalments of 25% payments, they've really, really thought it out, and it was an absolutely fantastic experience. So I just wanted to praise the club for that. And for those of you that haven't got your season tickets yet for the new stadium, you have got a real treat in store for your appointment. It's going to be really, really brilliant. Dave, have you got yours yet?
No, not yet. Still, umming and ahhing and deciding where sort of we want to be. And there's a few people to consult. A couple of them are away in America still. But everyone speaks amazingly. It can't be spoken highly enough. Everyone that's sort of done it says that they're just bowled over and they've had a great time. So, yeah, we're looking forward to it, and we'll get there eventually. But, yeah,
so
sounds like a great experience.
So, Robin, what you're saying is they might open the bar in the stadium for away games so you can watch it on the telly in there. Are you a little bit worried about the away support going down if that's the case?
No, they've not confirmed it, but that's a question that was raised, and it's something that has been fed back to the board of directors, and they're looking at the viability of it. So yeah, just basically for away games, I presume you'll have to pay tickets to go, and if they do it, you're going to have to pay tickets to go and see it, and maybe reserve a table in order to watch it. But Brentford's a wonderful community club, and the vast majority of our supporters enjoy interacting with away fans. And fanzines from all across the country, so we have a really good rapport and a really good relationship with away fans. This would purely be for home fans, and it would be purchased in advance. It wouldn't just be like an open bar where anyone could walk in. It would have to be reservable. But I thought that was a really interesting question that was raised. But I think one thing it does more than anything is highlight how valuable this stadium move is, because it's going to give us as a club the opportunity to grow. And the stadium becomes something a bit more than just a football stadium. It becomes more of a home that can accommodate more things and accommodate more people on more days. But I wouldn't be too worried about the away fans coming down.
Dave, would you go on an away day to the new stadium to watch the game on the telly with everybody instead of heading away to a game?
I would, yeah. I mean, I'm probably not sounding great, because you should want to go to as many games, away games, as you can and get around the stadium. But it's not always possible. It's not always like time wise. And I'd give it a go. Yeah, it wouldn't be my number one choice. But I think it could be a go. And any chance to watch the side and sort of get around like minded people and fans is got to be a plus.
But it's a nice gesture to have, and particularly for. Yeah. Given the financial implications that come with supporting Brentford and travelling away and going clubs, some people aren't able to afford that kind of thing. So I think it's just a really good opportunity that the club presents for people like that. And I don't think it'll discourage people from going to away games too much.
Now, Robin, earlier when we were talking about the stadium, Dave said that he thinks that the season will be finished at Griffin Park, that they'll postpone the opening of the new stadium, whereas you're saying, no, we'll get in the stadium at the contractual obligation of the date that has been set, and we'll get in there as quickly as we can. Do you think because you've been down and you've got your tickets and you've experienced it in that way, do you think that's what's influencing your thinking?
Yeah, I think maybe rose-tinted glasses are coming into play here, but because I'm still caught up in the euphoria of having got my season ticket having reserved my seat and booked it all and been through that experience, and maybe in a couple of days I'll feel a little bit differently. But right now, yeah, no, sod it. I'm ready to move into the community stadium. I would just like to say, Miles, if that's okay, is that we didn't actually get onto what from WhatsApp and from Twitter has been universally regarded as the greatest Griffin Park goal ever.
Oh, let's do it.
So that's just something I wanted to end on, because we put this question out on Twitter, on Facebook, on WhatsApp, on everything, and there are so many different goals that came up. Side Benrahma against Hull was another one. Gary Blissett's second goal against Man City was another one from Phil. So many different goals.
Benrahma should have about five, couldn't he?
Yeah, 500. Trotter against Chelsea in the Cup 2013 from Cham. So many different ones. But the one goal that most people came up with, and it's something that Matthew Pye on Twitter said as well, and it was the first goal that I thought of, was actually in a 3-1 defeat to Wickham in 2008. So that doesn't in itself sound very, very glamorous. But basically, we had a player called Glenn Poole, who was a left-sided midfielder who came up from non-league and left a lasting legacy to play, basically purely just because of one goal. Ryan Dixon, our left-back at the time, took a corner and he floated it past the penalty box and away from the penalty box to about 35, 40 yards out. Now, everyone was looking around thinking, what the hell's he done there? Next thing you know, Glenn Poole runs onto it and hits a volley that is so quick and so good that it nestles in the bottom corner. If you go onto YouTube and type Glenn Poole Wickham, Glenn Poole goal versus Wickham, you'll see what I mean. It's absolutely astonishing. So that was the goal that was the most talked about, if that makes sense, from all forms of communication about what was the best goal that they've ever seen at Griffin Park.
I think you're right, Robin. That was the perfect way to end the show today. So thank you very much for joining us. Robin Hood McMichael, Dave XG Anderson. It's been the Brentford fan show. They're both from Besotted, of course. Miles Blumsom here in for Matt Beadle. Remember, from the 31st of March, Love Sport's national station is going to be the only way of listening to us here on Love Sport. Now, you're listening on Love Sport London at the moment, so you're going to need to retune your radio. Easy to do. There should be a auto-tune refresh or auto-scan button on your digital radio, or you head into the menu and press auto-tune, and then you'll make sure you don't miss any of your favourite Love Sport shows, including the Brentford fan show and what we'll be talking about next. Next up, we're going to be doing the Leighton Orient fan show here on Love Sport London.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.